Right, we're thinking about Easter. And let's think about the timeline of Easter. Passover, Easter, Pentecost. Let's try to see the context of Easter. These three events are intertwined. They're closely related. When Jesus celebrated Passover with the disciples in what we call the Lord's Supper, it was an illustration to them of what was coming, although they didn't understand it much at the time. So Passover was a preview of Easter, but Pentecost was an effect of Easter. Because Jesus had died and risen again, the Holy Spirit could come and fill all his believers in a powerful, everlasting way. This empowered them so much that they could spread the good news about Jesus around the whole world. So much so that the enemies of the church accused them of turning the world upside down. There's a verse in Acts 17:6 that uses that phrase. There's an awful lot of history, there's a whole load of stuff around the Easter story. So why don't we just dip into a couple of bits of it while trying to keep the whole context of Easter in mind? Let's look at a little scene in the plot to kill Jesus. Think of the story in Matthew 26 and see just how political it was. The chief priests decided to arrest him, but they decided not to do it during Passover, or the people will riot. This really struck me as having a very current parallel in all the talk of how much people are willing to cope with the current lockdown. All the discussion of how long it can go on before folks start to rebel, start to suffer from cabin fever, start to disobey the rules. So politics then wasn't that different to now. Even though the social picture is very different, we're not living under Roman occupation. But how the people think and react isn't so very different. The will of the people is being talked about a lot just now, and the will of the people played a big part in the Easter story. Still, the will of the people can be very fickle. It can change very easily and very quickly. Let's look at the attitude, how the attitude of the crowd changed. In that week after the Passover celebrations, their attitude turned around completely. We see the people first welcoming Jesus as some sort of advancing hero. Then, by the end of the week, they're demanding his humiliation and his death. That's quite some hero to zero story. So what changed in that week before Easter? I'd suggest it was the people's attitudes, their expectations and their perceptions that changed. They started off believing Jesus was something that he wasn't. They believed all sorts of local rumours that he was going to overthrow the Romans, he was going to give them everything they wanted. The social media of the day, the street gossip, was portraying Jesus as something that he wasn't. If you like the terminology, they were so caught up with the fake news that their expectations were completely wrong. They thought that Jesus was there to make their life nice. Then they realised that he was there to challenge them to a new, a different life. At that point, they turned. They followed a new craze. They denounced him as a heretic. Can you see how clever the chief priests were at whipping up the crowds? And how neatly they played Pilate to make him do their bidding. So the feeling of the crowd changed in that week before Easter. But something far more important changed just after the crucifixion. You could say that everything changed just after the crucifixion. The whole destiny of mankind changed at Easter. You don't get much more important than the destiny of mankind. Easter can be seen as a pivot point in history, the point at which everything turned around. Of course, in purely human terms, in human history, that's not the case. In worldly terms, this was yet another story of maybe a wise man who was put to death, or it was an uprising that was foiled by undermining and getting rid of some revolutionary leader. But in spiritual terms, Easter, that is the death and the resurrection of Jesus, is totally key. It's fundamental, it's of profound importance. If you know nothing of Jesus, then the one thing you need to know is that he died and rose again. Then, of course, you need to know the reason for it. That Jesus loves you. And the implication of it. That your life can be made new by believing in him. In all the Old Testament, things are pointing towards the coming of the Messiah. Then, at the start of the New Testament, the four gospel stories are all pointing towards what Jesus will do, not just in his teaching, but in his transformation of the fate of mankind. As Jesus dies and rises again, as the veil of the temple was torn in two, everything changed. The power of sin was broken. A path was opened up for man to get right with God. Salvation was opened up to all of us. All we needed to do was come to God and ask for forgiveness. Suddenly, all the old rules and regulations became unimportant. All that mattered from that point on was, did we have a relationship with Jesus? At Easter, the whole spiritual arithmetic book was rewritten. The Old Testament rules about what we did to prove we were good enough for heaven were torn up, and they were torn up by God who wrote them in the first place. Because of Easter, there was a new arithmetic. It wasn't a case of adding up the good things and the bad things, subtract the bad things. There was a new way of getting into heaven, holding the hand of Jesus. The power of death was broken because of Jesus being willing to die in our place. We're no longer destined for eternity separated from God. Suddenly, we're offered the chance to enter our Father's kingdom because our brother has opened the gate. So, everything before Easter points forward to Easter. Everything after it points back to Easter. Even Christmas, marvellous though it is, it's only marvellous because of what happened at Easter. If Jesus hadn't died and rose again to open up heaven for us, then Christmas would be a fairly disappointing story about the birth of yet another wise man or prophet. It's Easter that turned all of the spiritual universe on its head. After Easter, we have Pentecost and the birth of the church. This all hinges on the death and resurrection of Jesus. It all points back to Easter. Easter is the key to all of the life of the church. It's because of the death and resurrection that his children can be and can do what he wants of us. In Corinthians, it's made clear just how important Easter is. 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. So, at Easter, everything changed. What does that change mean for you? Think of how coronavirus has changed so many things recently. It was the 1st of January that Wuhan Seafood Market got closed down because of the new virus. That's just over 100 days ago. So there have been headlines about 100 days that changed the world. But I'd suggest over Jesus' death on Good Friday to his resurrection on Easter Sunday, those are 3 days that changed the universe. At this time of change, what needs to change in your life? Talk to God about what he wants to change in your life and give him permission to make those changes. He will move if you let him. God's desire is to make you into something more like Jesus, someone more like Jesus, in some way. But in what way? That's the question. If you don't really know Jesus, if you're not sure that you've got a relationship with the one who changed everything at Easter, then that's the place to start. Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to start that relationship with the one who will be with you always? One who will never let you down? Do you want to pour out your heart to one who loves you infinitely, without limits? If you do, then talk to him. We call that prayer. Tell him that you want to know. To start that life-changing relationship with him. Tell him that you're sorry for all the things you've done wrong. Ask him to enter your life in a real way and to change you. And pick up the Bible and start to read it. And let God talk to you through the Bible. Read things like John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. And maybe talk to somebody who you know is a Christian. Tell them about this big step you've taken and let them help you build that relationship with Jesus. But if you're already a Christian, does that mean Jesus doesn't want to change you? No way. You're not perfect yet. None of us are. And God is aiming at perfection. The sort of perfection that God's looking for isn't like some medieval monk walking around muttering Latin and looking down his nose at everyone. The sort of perfection that God wants from our lives is that life of Jesus shining through us. What does that mean for your life? I don't know. So why don't you ask the only one who does know, and that's God himself. I can tell you that God wants to change your life and that he and you are the team to get that done. What sort of change? Well, that's up to you and up to God. Spend time with him. Discuss it. Ask him what sort of change he wants in your life. And that sort of change might surprise you. The change that God wants in your life might come as a big surprise. It's very clear in the Bible that God wants you to know him better. But he might want you to relax more in his presence. He might want you to be more willing to reach out and show his love to others. He might want you to be more bold in talking about him. He might want you to enjoy yourself more. He might want you to stop worrying about things like what other people think of you. I can't tell you what God wants you to be like. But he knows, so ask him. God loves to speak to his people. So don't hesitate to ask him about anything. There are no subjects that are off limits to the Almighty God. One final thought connected to the Easter story and to the current pandemic. And it's all about fear. John 19 verse 8 says, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. How afraid are people right now? The coronavirus fear has gripped just about everyone. You can see that fear in the eyes peering over their masks. Pilate's fear made him take decisions in ways that he probably wouldn't normally. If he hadn't been so controlled by fear, he might have handled things differently. We don't know. And yet for Christians, that sort of fear has no place in our lives. 1 John 4, verse 17. Love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on the judgment day. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ's. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. So then, love has not been made perfect in anyone who is afraid, because fear has to do with punishment. So, to wrap up, this is a time of change, and the most significant change is what Jesus has done for us. He has given us an open ticket to eternal life. It's an access all areas pass. And what does God want us to do with that? He wants us to change. And only you and he working together know what that change is. It's only you and he working together that can make that change. Ask him about what he wants you to change. Is it attitudes, habits, character traits, whatever? And don't let fear get in the way. Rely on his unlimited love, his perfect love for you. Rely on that being enough to let you take on that changed you, that new you that he's looking for. Spend some time talking to God, doing things that bring you closer to him, and expect God to come closer to you. This is a time of change. Let God do with it as he wants. So, happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.